Hello, Mother Rogues, Father Rogues, and fellow local and long-distance non-residential custodians. This is your handy-dandy Mother Rogue, Christina Miller, coming to you from my sewing room in the Duck House in Boston Metro's Merrimack Valley region. And as I have said before, everything east of Springfield, Mass. Is Boston Metro. I have learned this. So it's a wet, rainy day. It's been 2.5, almost 3 months. No, I take that back. May 28th, June 28th. Okay, it's been 1.5 months since I've seen Leading Man number one. I miss him, but I'm waiting until summer school and all of that good stuff is over, and I can spend some quality time with them. And also, I thought I would just take a minute and enjoy being home in Massachusetts. I haven't really done that in the 10 years I've lived up here. I'm always running around looking to see my son, trying to figure out, you know, how to get to see him. So I really don't spend a lot of time at home. I feel like sometimes I live out of a suitcase. That's all right with me. That's better than all right with me. I will live out of any suitcase you want if it makes my son happy. But it is, and when I'm with my son, my heart is happy. So it is interesting, though, knowing that I really do need to wait. There's really no point in going down there until I can bring him up here and spend some significant time with him, being home and working from home to boot, which means that there's things around my house I've never even noticed. You know, the creak in a floorboard, or the bird that flies by, or my window, or the woodchucks that have taken up residence under my three-season room. And yeah, we love those woodchucks. So the reason I didn't go back in June is in part because I was waiting to see how things had sorted out with my son moving out and living in pure out-of-home living. I was waiting for that application to be submitted and processed. And also, I was thinking about my son's financial future and my financial future, and I wanted to really dig into my career and read actively again. Been doing a lot of work on that, developing my website and just looking for ways to market myself. So my goal is to take my son to Disney in a few years. That takes money. But I also decided to do something revolutionary for me. I'm a non-custodial mom. This is who I am. This is who I've been for 14 years. And I have never actually identified myself that way. I do and I don't. I say I'm non-custodial, and you know, I talk about being a long-distance mom. And then I kind of just retreat back into making it seem like it's the brightest, a most amazing experience in the world to be living so far away from your child and not being there for the day to day. And I smile and I put a happy face on it, and I make it seem like this is all autism's fault. And I justify. I don't need to. And I don't need to stammer about it, and I don't need to hide it. I'm non-residential guardian now. My son's 18. But this is who I am. And it's who I've been for a very long time. And it's just that there's such a stigma around this non-custodial mom thing. I mean, there are mothers who don't do a lot of things that I do, that you do, and they're residential parents, so that's perfectly all right. They're there. So nobody sees anything wrong with them because, sure, parents make mistakes and you're human. Well, I'm human too. You're human. And I didn't make a huge mistake and neither did you. There's no reason for me to feel bad about the fact that I live 210 miles away. And there's no need for me or you, if you're a non-custodial mom and you're listening out there, to overcompensate for it, to tell people to gush about how good your son is doing and to, or daughter, or to say, well, there was this or that, and kind of stare down at the floor, or to say, but I'm super involved because I do this and this and this and this. And maybe you do. As a matter of fact, I know you do. You're probably just like me, who's like calling up the school and how is my son doing? And looking up report cards. And yes, it is possible. And you know this too, to be a helicopter mom from 2,100 miles away. But the point is, we don't need to say that. We don't need to justify ourselves. We did what was best for our children, or a judge decided what was best for our children, but it doesn't matter. We are no less mom than somebody who lives with their child and does the homework on a daily basis. If you don't believe me, and you might not, so might not a lot of other people, consider what's at the back of your mind every day. Consider how many times you call, whether you can actually get your, in my case, I've got a surly teenager, so getting him on the phone is hit or miss these days. Consider how many times you call. Consider the fact that, obviously, like me, you've contacted the school and you've told them to email you and call you and to send all of those good reports, report cards and whatnot, copies of them out to wherever you are. Consider the number of pictures on your iPhone. Consider all of the things that you do behind the scenes for your son or daughter, whether it's keeping a journal for them or planning a birthday party separate or with your ex fearless co-parent, ex/fearless co-parent. Consider the fact that you have a dresser for them full of clothing and that you secretly enjoy going out to Kohl's and shopping for their clothes before they come to visit because it makes you feel like mom. Consider all of the things that you do, and that's just the short list, every day without thought. Consider how far from your heart and your conscious mind at any given moment, including when you're sleeping, that child is. You're just as much mom as the woman holding her son's hand or the gal strapping her daughter into a car seat. Consider it. Do you not do homework or ask about it when you have your child on weekends or when you visit? Do you not administer discipline? Yeah, sometimes they misbehave. Kids are kids. You obviously feed them. You pay your financial support to your fearless co-parent if you're required to. If not, then you provide everything or in addition to that they need when they're with you. Consider everything that you do and give yourself credit. There's no need to feel awkward about being non-custodial or living far away from your child and seeing them when you can. But especially, there's no need to feel awkward if you're a mom and you're non-custodial. And I'm sorry, dads, I know. You guys get a bum rap too. You're relegated by most of society to being considered as, oh, I do the weekend pickups in the parking lot. And I know you do a heck of a lot more than that. But let's talk about the moms for a second, because really society is a little bit easier on those dads. No offense. You say you're a non-custodial dad. You say, oh yeah, my kids live with my ex. Most people will be sympathetic, but they'll understand and they won't bat an eye. And you say you're a non-custodial mom. People look at you like, what did you do? Did you lose custody? Did you, you know, are you a recovering alcoholic? No, I'm a never to recover workaholic. I think my worst vice is coffee. Yeah, I've got a bad coffee habit. It goes with the territory of being a writer and an editor. You can't do these things without coffee. But that's really about it. I don't drink too much. You know, I don't party. I'm way too old. My bones are way too brittle. It wasn't something I was interested in when they weren't. I watch TV. I haven't toked a joint since, if I have, maybe in college. These are just, you know, I'm just a typical boring 50-year-old empty nester who happens to have spent the last 14 years since I guess she was 36 living apart from her son. And that's about it. I didn't do anything. You didn't do anything. And life is pretty boring. So I don't know what you or I have to justify. We're good people. We're good parents. The world is filled up with many different people in many different families, and nobody should ever be alienated or judged because their kid doesn't live with them. Society teaches us that the kids stay with mom. But society also teaches us that as a mom, you do the very best thing for your kid, no matter how much it hurts you or breaks your heart. And I know it does. We choose to have children. We choose to accept responsibility for them. And we choose to always put their needs first. Now, sometimes the need to, you know, save a neck, the need to stay home and nurse a cold, all of these good things get in the way of putting your child first. Sometimes by necessity, you have to come first. But most of the time, like every other boring parent out there, you know, we're putting our children first. I walked into my son's school one day and I was picking him up. And, you know, when I'm in New Jersey and he's in school, I go pick him up. I just can't wait to see him. And his principal, who knows who I am, obviously, she's like, you know, that's really amazing. You come down here all the time. I think that's really great. And I'm like, oh, it's not. It's a no-brainer. It's my kid. Of course I'm going to be there. Somebody was talking on one of the autism forums about autism moms. And they're the strongest moms on earth. And apart from, are you really an autism mom if you are a mom who does not have autism, if you're just the mother to an autistic kid? That's a whole other separate debate. But the strongest moms on earth, folks, they're autism moms. Yeah, they're pretty strong. or mothers of parents with autism and or children with autism and autistic individuals who have kids. Yeah, they're pretty strong. They're very resilient. I'm one of those. I'm no Hercules. The Herculean effort where autism comes in with me, you know, there isn't one where autism is concerned. I'm just a mom. And, but the thing that takes real strength for me as the mother of an autistic child is not the autism. It's staring down the hallway at, in the direction of my son's bedroom. And, staring out the window at the driveway and missing him. It's all the times that I call and he's too busy to answer the phone. It's the little things that I miss that I can't be there for. Dumb things like doctor's appointments. And I would argue that next to the moms and the dads who have lost children, who are watching children go through serious diseases and cancer or have children that are serving in the military. Those are some of the strongest parents I know out there, moms and dads. And behind them, I would argue that it's those of us who voluntarily gave up our children or residential custody of our children and still fight to stay connected to their lives. Because in our heart of hearts, we want to live with them, but we know we can't, or we know that it's best for them if full-time our fearless co-parent has residential custody. The strongest parents I know, and again, no diss to those to parents of children and individuals with autism. Autism itself, there's absolutely nothing wrong with, but some of the comorbidities are gut-wrenching, heart-wrenching, and exhausting. And I totally get that. But if you ask me, you know, I've never been upset that my son had autism because it meant I had a son. And yeah, the spectrum has thrown some of the worst I've ever seen it. Anybody's ever seen at me and my ex-husband. I never minded the meltdowns and the IEPs that just don't demonstrate what my son is capable of in my heart and in my eyes, or the worst of whatever comorbidity that the spectrum could throw at me. That was easy compared to being separated from my child. Because if I was there witnessing the meltdown, if I was there fighting for the IEP in person, because I do that via remote, if I was sitting at ground zero for the worst the spectrum had to throw at me, or throw at my son more accurately, I was still sitting at ground zero with my son. We are some of the strongest parents out there. We deserve credit, and we deserve to not feel awkward because we're doing what's best for our kids. So that's this week's ramble, and please feel free to look me up, Christina, MR68, at readactively.org. Readactively is one word. Or because-autism.blog, the mother rogue, on WordPress. At Christina MR68 on Twitter and Christina MR68 on Facebook. And definitely send me your feedback. Let me know what you think. Let me know how you feel about what I'm saying. If you agree, disagree, like it, hate it, please tell me. I'm willing to and will listen to anything. And always remember, no H in Christina. If you're emailing or sending feedback. This is the Mother Rogue signing off for another week. By the way, you all know what the Mother Rogue is, right? Well, by definition, a rogue is somebody who goes outside the norm, who does something that is really not bad, but isn't necessarily supposed to be done. And mothers are supposed to keep custody of their children no matter what. So I did something that wasn't supposed to be done. I gave up residential custody. Oh, and by the way, it's almost time for me to FaceTime my son because he's home from school. And I'm going to go talk to him. Have a great week, folks. I'll catch you on the flip side or next weekend. This is the Mother Rogue signing off.